Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's May 22nd, and this is a memorable date in TV history, isn't it, Dean?
Yes, it is, because it is on this day, 31 years ago, that Johnny Carson signed off for the final time as host of The Tonight Show after over three decades, literally being the king of late night. There was never anybody that could compete with Johnny Carson. In my opinion, there will never be anybody that can compete with Johnny Carson as the consummate host, the bringing guests and letting them shine, in addition to, you know, making some classic moments through the years. We were talking about this yesterday, of the classic Ed Ames moment when yeah. Ed Ames was showing him the proper way to throw a tomahawk, and they had kind of a drawing of a cowboy at the other end of the studio, and Ed Ames throws the tomahawk and it lands squarely between the cowboy's legs. The crowd goes wild. Everybody goes wild. And Carson, with his incredible wit, goes, "I didn't even know you were Jewish."
Right. And he makes that that pause. If you watch that clip, the audience is roaring, and Ed Ames is about to say something, but Johnny like holds him back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As if to say, "No, wait, just hold on a second. Let's let the laughter die down.
Yep.
I've got a line here."
Yeah, the master of comedic time. And he actually holds Ed Ames' arms. Ed Ames went to remove the tomahawk.
That's right.
But it was in such a pivotal and hilarious place. Carson was the master of savoring that moment.
Mm-hmm.
His Karnak bit was classic. His many guests. The thing that I marveled as a talk show host myself, I marvel, and I hope I learned from him, to let the guests shine.
Mm-hmm.
The guest interviews are about the guests and pulling out the best of what your guests, who have you invited on the show, is what it's all about. And nobody was better than that than Johnny Carson. Our friend, the late Bill Zamy, was the only person ever to have an interview with Johnny Carson after he left the Tonight Show. And if you jump on the internet and take a look at what Bill wrote about his interview with Johnny Carson, it's very incisive, and it's perfect for today on this anniversary of Carson. Of course, you can see the Carson reruns weeknights at 9 o'clock on our sister station, Antenna TV.
Yeah, and the great thing about Bill Zamy's interview with Johnny Carson, they're at lunch together, and if you read that, you're right there with them during the lunch. It's very revealing. It's very cool.
Yep.
Let's get to today's Taylor Swift story. Now what?
She got drenched again over the weekend. Hey, you book outdoor arenas, it's going to happen. She was in Nashville, I think, a week ago. It poured raining. In fact, they actually delayed the concerts because the weather was so bad there. And then she was in the Boston area this past weekend at Gillette Stadium there. And again, soaking rain. But Taylor Swift, being the trooper that she is, she came out. She did 45 songs, 3.5 hours, and also treated the audience. At some point, she said, "I just want to share this with the audience. I'm happier than I've ever been in my whole life."
All right.
Referencing her recent breakup with whatever the boyfriend's name was. I've already forgotten the boyfriend's name. But she said that she just wanted her Swifty audience to know that she's happier than she's ever been. And so am I as a result of hearing that.
She's giving the kids their money's worth. And we have some Foo Fighters news as well today.
Yeah, this was pretty big news in rock and roll yesterday. It's been just a little over a year since Foo Fighters lost their legendary drummer Taylor Hawkins to a drug overdose. And yesterday they did an online event, a live streamed event, in which they introduced their brand new drummer to the group. And he is. Hang on, I feel a sneeze coming. I want to sneeze in the
middle. Go ahead and sneeze. We don't get enough sneezing on radio.
Sneeze in the middle of my big announcement here. The new drummer is Josh Fries. He is a veteran performer. He's played with many musicians, lots of different genres of music. They did a couple of songs together on this live-streamed event. If you go on the web, you can easily find it and take a listen. The Foo Fighters have a new album that's coming out on June 2nd. They start a brand-new tour this coming Wednesday, and they will be headlining the first night of Riot Fest over at Douglas Park at Sacramento and Ogden on September 15th.
Coming up, we'll get
and
to...
I didn't sneeze.
Oh, very good.
I held the sneeze back. That's a professional broadcaster right there.
Yeah, because there's a cough switch, but there's no sneeze switch.
No.
Dean Richards bringing us the entertainment headlines of the morning, and it was very entertaining to watch the Lakers and see the stars sitting courtside out there in Los Angeles, wasn't it, Dean?
Oh, my gosh. They were just all over the place. People like Denzel Washington was there. Jack Nicholson was there. Jack Nicholson hasn't made a public appearance in years and years and years. Pretty much he's officially retired from movies now. And famous courtside at Lakers games, and he was back for that. Jennifer Hudson was there, Chicago's own. The Batman, Robert Pattinson, Jake Gyllenhaal, Eddie Murphy, Adele, Andy Garcia among them, Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, longtime Lakers fan. All of them showed up to watch the Lakers lose. So game four is going to be tonight. And, you can watch for the basketball. I watch for the stars and, who's hanging out and who obviously got free tickets.
I didn't see it, but I was told that Jack Nicholson looked a bit crazed. Is that right? Did he?
He looked,
disheveled. Disheveled.
Dave, yeah. Come on. We haven't seen the guy in, several years. We're all a little older. We all look a little
more. Well, I didn't say older. I said disheveled.
He did look like he might have a shopping cart waiting on
him. Oh, nice.
I'm not saying I would have said that to him, Dean.
A lot of folks like these John Wick movies, don't they, Dean?
Yeah, amazingly. This is the movie that I said was way too violent and has nothing but gun violence in it. And, if we thought that people didn't like, that we don't like our gun violence, that we don't like our, these kinds of movies, we are dead wrong about that, because the John Wick 4 movie, Chapter 4, has just crossed over the $1 billion mark. You know, people say all the time, we don't like violence in the movies, but they have no problem going to pay it. This makes it the highest grossing film of all the John Wick movies that have come out so far. $1 billion for virtually nonstop gun violence in this movie. Mm. So,
wow. Well, who was it who said bad taste is timeless? I don't know.
To each his own, I guess.
This is quite a celebrity real estate story this morning, isn't it?
Oh, I love me a good celebrity real estate story. Anyone who knows me knows that. And this is actually the biggest real estate deal that's ever been made in the state of California. It involves Beyonce and Jay-Z. They just purchased a mansion in Southern California, and now they have purchased another one, a 30,000 square foot home in Malibu. It sits on 8 acres overlooking the Pacific Ocean, an L-shaped complex, all concrete with floor-to-ceiling walls of glass, a swimming pool, a cabana. It is considered to be one of the greatest architectural jewels in the country. Now, the asking price on this honey of a home was $295 million, and Beyonce and Jay-Z got it at a steal for just $200 million. Quite the bargain. As I say, the most expensive real estate deal ever made in the state of California. The second biggest real estate deal ever in the entire United States of America.
I'm sorry, did I miss where this is exactly? Do we know?
Malibu.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Malibu. Mm-hmm. It's right on the ocean in beautiful Malibu, California. But, you know, 8 acres on the ocean in Malibu.
Oh, my.
That's enormous.
That's unbelievable.
That's a lot of room.
How was Seth Rogen to talk to?
I love Seth Rogen. He's always a blast to talk to. He was with his co-star Rose Byrne when we did a little Zoom chat in this new series that they've got coming out called Platonic, in which they play longtime friends who, you know, their lives go in different directions. They have a kind of a disagreement, kind of a falling out. But years later, kind of patch things up again and kind of, you know, pick things up right where they left off. They're the best of friends, and nobody can believe that they are just best friends. You know, everybody thinks because it's a guy and a girl that there must be something more going on to that. And this movie explores that idea of, can a man be just friends with a woman? That's one of the things we talked about.
How important is that? I mean, is it super obvious the moment that you start acting with one another, you know, with other actors and actresses, that there's some kind of electricity?
Yeah, I think you can tell pretty quick normally if actors work well together. I think, I mean, honestly, like, and it's lovely we get along, especially when you're doing press and stuff is when it really pays off to get along with the people that you work with. But like, you can make a movie with someone you don't like, and there's enough other stuff going on that it's you can do it, and it's fine, and it can be good. And there's people that I don't get along with particularly well who I've done great work with.
People
you
who
know?
Hate each other can have great chemistry.
Yeah, can have great chemistry, but it's nicer when you do get along. I mean, you're doing stuff like this, it's way nicer when you get along.
So much less of a punish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now I have to go down your IMDb list to figure out who might not have liked.
Yeah, I did do that. I went back and looked at who Seth Rogen has made movies with. And, I don't know. He didn't say, but he did a movie with Barbara Streisand. I don't see those two being the best of friends.
I don't think so.
You know, he's James Franco. Those two are two of a kind. I can definitely see that. But isn't that interesting, though, that, you know, you see these people doing movies together, and sometimes they hate each other. It's just like any other workplace.
It brings to mind the exploration of that same question in the movie When Harry Met Sally, doesn't it?
Exactly right. And this series, which begins streaming on Wednesday, by the way, on Apple TV Plus, explores that. And I think it's such an interesting concept. Seth Rogen had said that he thinks that whether or not you believe a man can have a platonic relationship with a woman more depends on the expectations of the man, that usually it's the man who has, you know, completely different ideas going into a relationship like that. Either doesn't think that a woman is equal to him, or only views her as he put it, the object of sexual desire. So it's an interesting one to continue to explore. I like Seth Rogen had said in the interview, I have lots of friends who are women who are, you know, friends. I don't want to say just friends because it minimizes it, but, you know, who are her friends. Why shouldn't it happen?
No, the man has too many expectations. Let's just say that. You know what I mean?
It's generous.
Thanks, Dean. I'll talk to you tomorrow.